T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. 1 o'clock hour, Show and Vern, live from Municipal Auditorium, site of the 82nd NAIA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. We're out here until 2 o'clock. Serta and I will be back out here coming up on Saturday. We will have play-by-play of the final two games on Saturday, the quarterfinals on Saturday, 5:30 and 7:30. You'll be able to hear Serta and I from right here at the Muni on 1660 over on our sister station. We'll have the championship, of course, for you here on 610 Sports Radio Tuesday night with Mark Miller on the call. But as promised, joining us now live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona, he is our Royals insider, and I would imagine he can smell Kansas City is about a week away from being back home with the family, back with the people in Kansas City, back eating right. He is Cody Tapp. Cody, thank you very much for your time today, man. What's going on?
Not too much. You know, funny enough, mentioning the NAIA stuff, I've called the championship game the last 3 years.
I was going to ask you, because not only that, but you're also a proud UMKC Roo. What's your best memory here at the Muni?
Well, I mean, listen, there are some good UMKC games. I think the first game of play-by-play I ever got a call early in, like, college radio days was against Iowa State, and they, like, held tough for three quarters of the game. That always stands out. But I got a call the NAIA, was it 2 years ago? On an overtime buzzer beater to win it. So
wow.
I don't do much play-by-play, so that's, you know, that's top of the top. That's as good as a, you know, game I'm going to get to call.
Well, Serta and I are doing it on Saturday night. Real quick, I want to get to a lot of Royals here. Your best piece of advice, I haven't done play-by-play in 15 years, and Serta hasn't done it in a few months.
Ever.
I mean, Serta's never done it, sorry.
Oh, never. For me, like, no, like, at the very least, just go through and learn enough of the names. You're not going to memorize the names and the numbers by that. Just know, like, the five guys who play most of the time for NAIA teams, and you'll be fine, because in the course of the game, you'll start to figure out their name anyway. Right. So it's fine. Like, you don't have to overdo it there. And then other than that, just make sure when I taught students once about this, I played back, like, 5 minutes of play-by-play I did in college. And I was like, all right, we've listened to 5 minutes. I was like, did I ever say the score? Like, no. Okay, that's a problem. So say the score.
Right.
Say the score. That people care about that more than about anything else.
Sage advice from our Royals insider, Cody Tapp. Cody, let's start with the news from yesterday. Ian Kennedy moved to the bullpen. As the guys in the drive pointed out, he will be the third highest paid reliever in all of Major League Baseball next season. First, any surprise when the move came down? And then two, how do you think he'll fare in the bullpen?
I was a little surprised, partially because, you know, Duffy wasn't fully recovered from injury, so I kind of thought maybe they just stick with Kennedy in the bullpen at least until he was back on the diamond for sure. So I was a little bit surprised to see that, just because I thought they might wait a little bit longer to make that decision. As far as how he'll fare in the bullpen, I don't know. I mean, I think he'll do okay, partially because, you know, his stuff is good enough that you think when ramped up, it should be all right. I mean, he's throwing 95 on a stadium gun, so I don't know if it's, you know, if that's a hot gun or if that's about what he was throwing, but he was showing 95 on the gun the other day, and if he could just be two pitches, Kennedy could be a pretty highly effective reliever, and we've seen plenty of guys make that jump, including, the guy who closed 20 games last year for the Royals, and Willy Peralta, who was nothing but a starter his entire time coming up, too, so... Like, I know some of the hesitation is, you know, just walk away. If the guy can't start, and he thinks he can, by the way, but if the guy can't start, why keep doing this? There's 33 million reasons to find out right. If the guy can pitch in the bullpen. This is an easy decision. He's under contract for the next 2 years. You might as well find out if he can be in the bullpen. You can make decisions later, but there is no harm in finding out. I think he'll be okay. I'm just not sure how he'll handle high leverage and that stuff yet.
Right, because you're not going to be able to trade him. Nobody's going to want that contract, at least not anytime soon. And then B, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. Even though Dayton Moore did change the game and how we look at relievers, I can't imagine Ian Kennedy's presence in that bullpen is going to stunt the growth of some relief pitcher, because they're a relief pitcher and there aren't too many exceptional relief pitchers that aren't basically just failed starters. Is he holding anyone back? Will he preclude anyone from getting that big chance?
The only guy you could make the argument for is Lovelady. Everyone else, like when I'm doing the numbers and what I think the bullpen will shake out at, I'm like, no. Like, because I'm not worried about him standing in the way of Chris Ellis or Sam McWilliams, like Rule 5 guys that they've taken a shot on. Because I'd rather find out if Ian Kennedy can do it too, if just based on what I know about Ian Kennedy as a pitcher versus what I've seen out of those two. The only guy you make the argument for is Lovelady, who I do think at some point and probably deserves sooner rather than later to find a spot in the pen. But he's so young, and he'll get to pitch every day down there anyway, right? He'll get to be,
right,
you know, not the closer, but high leverage down there and pitching regularly, and he's got so much time left on him. I'm just not worried about him standing in his way yet.
And, right, not only will he get reps down in Omaha, but you're not going to win a ton this year, so... to me, a reliever is—it's not like Mondesi or this year with the Nicky Lopez, where man, I want him to start feeling what it's like to be a big leaguer. When I look at a reliever, man, I'd rather hang on to that service time and let's put you in pressurized moments when the games are actually pressurized.
You just don't like, especially with the cost of them going up so much. There's just not as big of a rush. Like they know Lovelady's good. He's been their organizational pitcher of the year. He's been, like, pitcher of the year 2 years consecutive, right? Like, he's been good at A, AA, AAA. He's been good at every level. They're not worried about whether or not I think he's going to succeed in the bigs. But they've got time. Like, you know, like, Kyle Zimmer's more important to get on the roster. He's on a one-year deal, essentially. Doesn't have options right now, right? That, you know, they need to see other guys before they need to see Lovelady, and that includes Kennedy. I just think it's different. Like, listen, like last year where they drug their feet for 4 months to just go ahead and start Mondesi when we knew that, like, Escobar's time was up. I'm like, please stop doing this and just let Mondesi start so we can move on with this. I don't feel that way with Kennedy right now as far as getting in the way with anybody. I think I'd be more concerned. If anything, they're doing a favor by making the space and not making a mistake of, like, trying to put Lopez in the bullpen and not seeing him as a starter, which they kicked around, or not giving an opportunity for Phil Meyer to be a first guy called up. If anything, they're making room for starters, which matters more, doesn't it?
I would agree, because right now the rotation, you mentioned Lopez, we got Keller and Junis, Homer Bailey. That's the top four right now?
That's the top four. Duffy being the fifth, and
sure,
his timeline still seems like it's shaking out that he should be close to ready by the time they need a fifth starter, but yeah, those would be the four right now, so Bailey could be standing in someone's way, but they've got the spot. I don't think he's blocking anybody right now. They're kind of thin at the AAA level with pitching anyway.
And then the pitching that matters in this organization right now were those guys that they selected last year in the draft. Speaking of top four, I want to get real quick, and then we'll get away from Kennedy in the bullpen. As far as pressurized moments, I don't need ninth inning, eighth inning, seventh inning, because as you've talked about, online at 610sports.com and Cody's Corner, Ned's going to mix and match more than he has in years previous. How would you rank them, 1 through 4, 1 being the guy that's going to come in the biggest and most pressurized spots, 1 through 4 of guys that have earned the trust of Ned and earned the trust of you?
Last night, they still pitched Willie Peralta in the ninth, and so I feel like he's got maybe the edge for Ned. You know, Boxberger's going to be in that mix, and Diekman. Those are the three guys he continues to pitch in late innings, although he pitched Zimmer in the seventh, too. So, like, if I'm saying it's Ned, I think, is Willie Peralta, Boxberger, and Diekman in some order in those back innings. I think those are the three guys he trusts the most. If you're saying who's looked the best, Zimmer would be at the top of that list. Wow. Like, Peralta still looks comfortable. So I'm not worried about him. I saw him last year, so I kind of get a feeling. Brad Boxberger had a lot of saves last year, but it came with a pretty high ERA. And he's been okay. He came back from an injury, so I've only seen him two or three times, really. So he's looked okay. And I think Diekman looks good, but, you know, there'll always be questions about, like, how sure are you against righties with him. Zimmer's looked as good as anybody. I know it sounds crazy, but his stuff is better than all the guys I just mentioned. He's only let up one run in 9 2/3 innings. Like, if I'm ranking him, I don't know if Zimmer can pitch high leverage yet because it isn't a real game. So he wouldn't be my closer now, right? But he would certainly be seventh inning for me, and then I would start looking at bumping him up depending on how that performance went.
That's, I mean, three straight weeks we've talked about Kyle Zimmer when you join us here on Wednesdays, normally at 12:30, but kind enough to join us throughout this 1 o'clock hour. I mean, it sounds like you're sold on Kyle Zimmer, and you've seen plenty of baseball. You know the difference between spring and what stuff and what's bad hitters. So I should sign off. I should be with you. Are you giving me a Cody stamp of approval that Zimmer's breaking camp with this club?
It's fun. Yeah, I think he is. I do. And, you know, and he's probably sick of hearing from me too, Vern, because, like, I'll go in there, I don't know, every couple of days and essentially just be like, hey, man, is your arm falling off or you good?
Right.
just help me out. Like, you feel fine? Yeah. Like, I know I'm not a doctor, but just keep telling me your arm feels all right because everyone's worried. His routine, and he's, by the way, he's going to be a guest tomorrow on the Hot Stove Show. His routine has just gotten to the point that I think he's, you know, like, for once it feels like he's got something in place that seems like it's holding him down. Now, you know, 162 game is a long season, so I'm not sure how it'll hold up or not. But if you're just talking about pure stuff, it's not just bad hitters. He looks good against everybody. It's the stuff he thought about. He's thrown the ball 95 upwards. He's thrown it at least once, 97. And he still has a devastating curveball. And so that he throws two different speeds. He's got more stuff than a reliever typically needs to get outs. And so, you know, for me, he's the real deal.
Final thing from the news from yesterday. Brett Phillips, Jorge Bonifacio both sent to Omaha. Is the outfield done? Do we now know the opening day outfield?
Yeah, it's going to be Goodwin and Soler splitting time out there. And I think it'll be more Goodwin than Soler to start the season, but it's going to be those two guys, and then maybe Witt bounces out there every once in a while and Owings goes to second. But mix and match is the term they've used. But, yeah, it's going to be Goodwin. And I think we could have decided that day one. I think even when Bubba was going, I was trying to warn people, Goodwin performed well for them for a half a season last year. I think that was enough for them after they traded for him to try it again. And so it's going to be Goodwin and Soler out there for the time being.
Cody Tapps, our Royals insider. He's live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. And going to stick with us throughout the 1 o'clock hour. When we get back, I want to get Cody's thoughts on Danny Duffy, not only this spring and this season, but also on his Royals career. That's coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back. Show and Vern live from Municipal Auditorium, site of the 82nd Annual NAIA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. Pleased to be joined by our Royals insider, Cody Tapp, as we are just over a week away from opening day. Cody Tapp joining us live from Surprise Stadium at Surprise, Arizona. Tonight, the Royals head out to Scottsdale to take on the Rockies. We'll have the game for you tonight, 8:40, on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Cody, I made this point earlier in the show and brought it up yesterday as well. I saw you talking about it on Twitter. Your thoughts in, and we've brought this up with Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel before, but man, oh man, Gio Gonzalez, when you look at what he did last year as a member of the Nationals and Brewers, he statistically would immediately be the second best starting pitcher on this Royals staff, and yet he had to settle for a minor league deal with the New York Yankees. To me, it's the ultimate sign that, yes, indeed, Kansas City, this is a tank in 2019. Am I off base?
That one felt really, no, I don't get it, honestly. Like, I just don't. Like, why not reach out to the guy? He said it was literally the only offer he got. So I don't know. Like, no. Maybe the Royals reached out and whatever the number was originally, it was outside of the budget that they wanted to spend on somebody. And I get it. Like, Homer Bailey cost much less than that. But it sounds like Gio Gonzalez could have been had for, like, 1 year and $3 million. And just somebody had tweeted out the stats, so I wanted to give him credit for it. But so I'd written it down. In 2015, Ian Kennedy, 168 innings pitched, 4.28 earned run average, 4.51, you know, or I'm sorry, 0.7 F4, right? You're like, all right, he's a good pitcher. Gio Gonzalez in 18, 171 innings, 4.21, 2.0 F4. He's pretty much the same pitcher as Ian Kennedy in 2015. Ian Kennedy got $7 million, and Gio Gonzalez can't get a call for 1-for-3.
Wow.
Like, I know that the market has changed, but based on what, and I get it, Gio Gonzalez, like, at the end of last year was bucking it in at, like, 88, 89 miles an hour. Like, his velocity had dipped. But are you sure you don't want to call? Or are you sure you don't want to have a conversation? Homer Bailey's posted a 6-point earned run average for the last three seasons. Listen, every deal, like, you know, anytime a free agent, like, any safety comes available, people are like, Vern, should the Chiefs sign this other safety? All the safeties fit the Chiefs.
Right.
The same thing doesn't apply, right? Every free agent baseball player isn't a good fit for the Royals. But considering some of their, like, you know, not wanting to overspend this year because of what you're talking about, the rebuild and all that, Gio Gonzalez seems like kind of a perfect pickup and flip guy at the deadline. I don't see it. Like, it's one of those that says to me, like, I guess, yeah, it doesn't seem like they're committed enough, at least into this year, to go after a guy like that, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
And, I mean, I'll admit, and I'm sure you would agree, the CBA doesn't lend itself to trying and coming up short. It rewards winning big, and it rewards losing big. It's one of those two, and the players did this to themselves by agreeing to the most recent CBA. That wasn't in their best interest.
No, which is why they just signed, you know, the new rules that are going in place in 2020. The biggest, like, listen, there's all kinds of stuff that, like, change baseball in kind of a different way, like the minimum batter rules and how they spend. But the most important part of that entire deal is that as a result of that, they're going to the table like a year and a half early to try to figure out the CBA so they don't run into problems. Because I'm sure the players aren't happy with the system as currently constructed.
And like you said, this doesn't fit all free agent pitchers with, you know, running the risk of making Danny Duffy upset. Like, I wouldn't want to bring in James Shields. I don't think that that's what this team needs in 2019.
Actually, Danny Duffy wants that. No, I don't either. But Danny Duffy would be fine with that based on conversations we've had.
What? How's Duffy handling? Because yesterday we see that he's giving up Twitter, as he should. If it's not helping him, if it's starting to bother him, that's the smart move. I even had an awakening when it came to Danny Duffy, because Cody, I've been a guy with Duffy where every single year I get disappointed in the fact that he's not a Bob Gibson, Madison Bumgarner kind of killer on and off the field. He's a nice guy on and off the field, and now that he's 30, I just got to accept who he is and what he's going to be. When the Royals named Brad Keller the starter, he says, well, you know, good for him. He's the best pitcher on our staff. That's not what I wanted to hear, but that's what I should have expected to hear from Danny Duffy. How would you describe his attitude inside the clubhouse, the way that he's going about leading this suddenly young pitching staff, and just his overall demeanor as he enters now his ninth season with the Royals?
He really wants to perform well for the organization and the fans. Like, I think it genuinely means something to him. It's not, you know, like, I know they talk about these guys who just, like, take a check and cash it, and how they perform doesn't mean a lick. But for him, it's never been about that. And you're right. Like, for the people who be like, oh, he doesn't have that killer instinct because he just called Brad Keller the best starter, that has never been who Danny Duffy is.
Right.
Like, ever. It's not like this is a recent change. This is definitely his personality type. And I think, you know why I think some people had a hard time coming to grips with it? Is because on the mound, a couple of years, Vern, he was that killer. Or it seemed like, you know, the way he was attacking hitters made him seem that way, right? He had those 2 years, you know, in 14 before the injury. he looked like one of the best pitchers in baseball. In 16, he had a really good year. Like, there have been a couple times when he has looked downright dominant. And so you're like, well, Duffy, shouldn't you feel better about your stuff? But I don't take it as much with him as a knock on, like, himself as much as he is, like, supportive of everybody. Like, and that goes back to what I said about James Shields. Like, we were having a conversation. We talked about Twitter, too, but we were talking about a little bit, like, some of the free agency stuff. He's like, man, I can't believe there's nobody out there that doesn't want a 200-inning guy in James Shields. Like, everything he did for the clubhouse and all those things, like, I think he just wants, like, he wants so badly for things to go well for other people, too, and not just himself, that sometimes it comes off as a lack of confidence in himself. And I think it's more just about being supportive of other people, which is different than a lot of baseball players. So right. it stands out as being odd because he's different than a lot of guys. And as far as Twitter goes, like, we talked about it, I don't know, 15 minutes yesterday, probably. I mean, I get it. I get on Twitter sometimes, right?
Yeah, Twitter like, sucks.
Who is this person in my mention? Like, I just mute people and just let them scream into the ether or whatever. But, like, it's sometimes it is just the worst. And the negative voice that just keeps going. And he's right. Like, calling him a head case and stuff like that. Like, I've gotten to know Danny pretty well over the years. Like, just because somebody is different than you emotionally doesn't make them right. a head case.
Right.
And, and caring about what people think of you is a common problem. I probably have that problem sometimes, right? Like, I let that get yes. to me. Like, where you try to mute people until you're like, why does this guy hate me so much? What did I ever do?
Right, right.
But I don't have to go out there and pitch in a major league game on top of it. So, like, I get why he's leaving it. And I don't take it as, like, a personal affront to, oh, it means they're getting in his head. I think he's just trying to be as, you know, he's trying to have as clean of a start to a season as he can, considering how last season went. And, you know, this is one of those things going to help him get there.
I'd delete my Twitter account tomorrow if I could, but I was told when I first came to Kansas City, you got to get a Twitter account if you want to be on 610 Sports Radio, so I am stuck with it. But, yeah, it's an absolute cesspool. What can you tell us as far as Duffy, his return, when we can expect to see him on the mound for the Royals?
Ned laid out his entire plan yesterday as far as, like, what they're up to. So, if you're hoping Danny Duffy's going to be staying on the lines on opening day, not going to happen. So it sounds like the plan is he's throwing like BPs now, but not live ones. And so he'll throw his first live BP against hitters on Monday. So the final day we're here. Then on, but it's a, you know, it's a short game. Then on Thursday, he'll throw his first simulated BP, like an up down, like he'll fully like get warm in between innings and go up. That's opening day. So he'll be down in extended spring training throwing a live up down. And then he said the next stage after that is games. Presumably a game here around the 8th, I guess, if you did the 5-day layoff. And then maybe ready by the 13th. Like, by my math, the Royals don't need an extra start until the 12th. So the timing could work out that he's ready by that time. I still think he might miss an extra start. It could be like more end of April than middle of April, but that's at least the schedule I got from Ned yesterday. He's reading it right off a piece of paper, so I assume it's accurate.
Royals insider Cody Tapp joining us live from Surprise, Arizona. Follow him on Twitter, at Cody B. Tapp, T-A-P-P, at Cody B. Tapp. And, of course, check out his work at 610sports.com. And tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, it is Royals Hot Stove with Cody Tapp. As he mentioned, Kyle Zimmer will join the program Thursday night, 6 o'clock, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Any talk inside the clubhouse about the $430 million extension signed yesterday or to be signed by Mike Trout?
Because, you know, yesterday the clubhouse was kind of weird because we had, like, this extra thing with Ned and then sure. had to get Kennedy. I don't think we talked to anybody about the deal yesterday. But there have been other talks about, like, Bryce Harper's deal and stuff. With baseball players, man, they're happy anytime somebody gets a big check. It's all good for them, right?
Unless you're Witt. If you're Witt, you're just always ticked at how someone's doing you wrong at every turn. I respect his ability to constantly carve that chip even deeper in his shoulder.
Did you see that little video I posted of him when I asked him about the rule changes? It's like, hey,
yes.
Witt, so what do you think about the rule changes? He's like, well, I think if they had 26-man rosters, I would have been on it. So I'd have been in the big leagues 2 years sooner. I'm like, damn, all right, Witt, I get it. Like, I love it. I love that attitude from him. By the way, opposite of what we were talking about with Danny Duffy a little bit.
Yes.
But, yeah, if I were Witt, I'd hate that there's a system in place that allows them to keep me as a minor leaguer till I'm 28. and then just hold me in arbitration for 5 years after that at essentially nothing. But I'll bet he's happy that at least he got some deal in place. But, yeah, sure, I think I'd look at the free agency market and be like, I could be getting all this money. I mean, he's not getting $430 million, but, you know, even if you thought of him as a Zobrist-like player, you got to think he'd been in line for 60 or $70 million.
Right. Ian Kennedy's due 33 over the next 2 years. Witt won't see half of that over the next 4 years. Cody Tapps joining us live from Surprise Stadium. The one thing that I'm jealous of, the one thing that I miss about being at Royals spring training, I'll explain it and get Cody's thoughts on how much he's enjoying it when we get back.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back. Show and Vern live from Municipal Auditorium, the 82nd annual NAIA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. Coming up in 15 minutes, your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the championship game on Tuesday night, the championship game and the All-Star game, both taking place on Tuesday nights. Saturday, catch Serta and I on the broadcast starting at 5:30 over on 1660. And come out and join us on Saturday as it's family day out here at the Muni Slam Dunk Contest at 4:30 during family day coming up on Saturday. Again, joining us live from Surprise, Arizona, our Royals insider, Cody Tapp. You'll hear him coming up on Thursday night at 6 o'clock, Royals Hot Stove with Cody Tapp. Kyle Zimmer scheduled to join the program. Cody, my favorite thing about being at spring training from day one until the end was there's just something about being in that clubhouse every day where you can just feel the tone of the team, the mindset of the team. You can identify the leaders of the team. You can identify the quiet youngster that believes he's about to have a breakout. Like before 2015, you could tell they were all ticked off and out for blood. You were there. You remember the feeling inside that clubhouse. 16, they had a satisfaction, a happiness about them, but they still had a certain resolve about them. How would you describe the feel inside that clubhouse, seeing that you're there every single day?
I think a lot of it is guys trying to prove that they're worth being here. Like, you know, that's, you know, and some of those guys don't have that feeling. You know, like we talked about with Witt and Gordon.
Sure.
Like, those guys know that they've been here and that they belong here. But the overwhelming feeling is that there's a lot of guys who are both trying to prove their worth, that they deserve to be here or deserve to stay. Like, you know, O'Hearn and Dozier trying to prove that they're here to stay. And, you know, like when you talk to Billy Hamilton, he's heard the stuff about his light hitting over the years and wants to prove those guys wrong. And, you know, Brett Phillips, I know he got sent down, but, you know, he was talking about, like, knowing that, like, the strikeout numbers and people had paid attention to those and trying to cut those down. And, you know, Zimmer's just trying to, like, find a way onto a roster, and Lovelady's trying to break through. So much of it to me feels like guys who are trying to prove their worth at the big league level, including like guys like Terrence Gore too. They've just got so many guys who you don't know are going to be a part of this thing in 3 years, or if they're just the pieces that are sitting here keeping the spot warm for the next guy. And a few of these guys are going to prove out. A few of these guys are going to stick around and be a part of this next grouping of players that are all in Wilmington this year, or some that start in Double A, and some are going to prove that they're not worth hanging around. And I feel like a lot of guys just kind of get that feeling. Like, that's the real sense of it I get.
Sounds a lot like how it was last year, because what you're describing is what I felt last year being in that clubhouse, which is a sense of I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm not trying to joke around too much because I got business to take care of.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, there is some goofing around because there are some players that will do that, but there are a lot of guys that are very much about business. And even, like, the older guys, too, right? Like, Alex Gordon, when I had asked him about, like, hey, man, you think this is definitely your last year? He's like, depends on how I play. Like, you know, I don't know that it's going to feel like I can keep doing this at the end or not, right? And there's so many stories like that for the Royals. And Maldonado, who didn't sign until late, I think it is a lot about business, like you said. Like, they're probably not having the amount of fun maybe you'd want a team to have yet. But they're also very hungry. Like, Dozier and O'Hearn want to prove that they belong here. And, you know, Mondesi's probably, you know, trying to emerge from the group, although he looks more comfortable than anybody. He doesn't seem like he's coming off that way. He just seems like he's fine and comfortable and plays baseball. But, like, overwhelmingly, I feel like the opinion around there is a lot of guys trying to prove their worth.
Protein, I'll see what the purpose. Text line 69306. And I know you get this all the time on Twitter. How is the relationship with Ned? How is Ned and his attitude? Because we discussed last week about his very open admission of being comfortable and not feeling pressure. That was off-putting to me. How's he been to interact with? Are you looking forward to the next 6 months with him?
It's going to be challenging at times. Like, for instance, after the game on Sunday, Ian Kennedy, for the second time, had pitched just out of the bullpen, like just an inning, even though he kept talking about like wanting to stretch him out. So I asked him after the game, I'm like, hey, Ian Kennedy, he's pitching out of the bullpen. He's like, we're just, you know, like there's other guys I needed to see, and like got kind of defensive about it.
Of course.
And then yesterday, like Ian Kennedy to the bullpen, I'm like, well, damn it, I was trying to get to that.
God.
You just give it to me. So I think he's just combative. Like, he just likes to be combative, which I don't mind the bounce back sometimes. And usually it's pretty harmless, right? You know that. Like, normally he likes the give and take of the whole situation, and so it's no big deal. But he certainly is comfortable, and he's not going to be afraid to say what he feels or not say what he doesn't feel like saying. So I imagine it'll have its trying times, as you remember, but overall I think it'll be fine. You remember, I'm coming off of covering Andy Reid for 3 years.
That's true.
So at the very least, Ned will sometimes tell me something, even if it's not what I want to hear.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, coming from Andy Reid, there's at least a acknowledgement that, you know, every once in a while I'll tell you the truth about something. Maybe it's off the mic. But, yeah, Ned will at least be honest with you.
And so many others in the organization are great. You know, like, we've had a lot of times to meet down here with Dayton Moore.
Yes.
And not all on record, right? Just chance to talk to him about the organization and where players are and what kind of plans they have in place. Like, so many other people are great to deal with in the information, like JJ and Dayton and
sure.
Scott Sharp, and so many people available to you that, you know, you get to have some other conversations you don't always get to have with Ned.
So what's the biggest concern then? I mean, obviously we understand that this is a rebuilding or a tank job, whatever you want to call 2019. When you left Kansas City for Surprise, you had a pretty firm grasp of what this team was going to be. Has anything been disappointing?
You know, I think that they haven't gone to address starting pitching more like that.
Yeah.
That's still a big concern. Like, there's so many young guys with upside. Like, Keller's upside is great. I think Jorge Lopez's upside is really nice. Junis could have a good third year. Like, those three guys, I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, and Duffy, you're hoping if healthy, but he's injured. And then rolling out Bailey, who has been, I don't know, beyond hittable the last few years, right, is concerning for a number of reasons. I like what they've done in the bullpen. They've at least... they made a bunch of signings there. They went with Boxberger and Diekman. They're moving Kennedy over there. Zimmer's in the mix. Like, they're totally remaking that. So I at least like that idea. But, you know, the starting rotation's concerning. And listen, they're, because of Salvador Perez missing out of the middle of their lineup, offensively, it's probably going to be a little scary. Although, it's too bad. Because if Perez were still in the middle hitting 27 homers like he has the last 2 years, the top of that order is actually pretty good.
Sure.
You know, Witt, Mondesi, Soler, Salvador Perez, and hopefully, you know, a resurgent Alex Gordon. Like, that's actually a pretty good top of the order. Like, reasonably so. Like, you know, the guy who led the league in hits last year, and Mondesi, who I think is going to have a huge year. Soler hits the ball harder than anybody on the team. It's like, I would actually kind of get talked into it a little bit. But Perez out of it means, like, okay, now Soler's hitting fourth instead of fifth, and his strikeouts kind of matter a little bit more, and it's O'Hearn and Dozier after him, and I'm not sure about those guys yet. So I feel like it's a lot of the same concerns I had it in, although I might have said bullpen more than starting pitching to start spring training, and I definitely feel like it's flipped now.
You mentioned Soler. Are you is the organization, do we read into
Sorry, it looks like we're having some issues with Josh Vernier out at the NAIA tournament. I'm not really sure where he was headed with that point.
He was going to ask about Soler, clearly.
Okay.
if you're curious, just I think you know, at the very least, he said how they feel about Soler organizationally, and I would tell you, sort of, they're high. They're very, very, very high on him. Maybe the second, you know, other than position player, other than Mondesi, I would say he's the guy they're the most optimistic about, because I don't know, he just hits it so hard. And yeah, sure, he strikes out, but he also hits the ball a mile. And if you remember last year before he, I don't know, some his problem too is injury, but last year before the ball found him in the foot, it's like, oh boy, Soler's going to be a star, right? Like, this guy looks like he can really hit. And then, I don't know, it's like a heat-seeking missile of injury for him. Like, something finds him even if he doesn't get hurt himself.
Yeah, and that seems like, you know, one of my takeaways from last Royal season was, you know, early on when Soler was looking like he was finally developing and maybe turning that corner, that seems to be something that that I feel like a lot of people forgot. Like, he wasn't just hitting the cover off the ball. He just looked like he was turning the corner, like he was developing into a really nice player. So I think that expectations should be high for him.
Of course it should. Like, if he's healthy, of course it should. 265 batting average, 354 on base. He'd hit 9 home runs in 60 games. Like, it was going pretty good. Like, he looked like he was going to be a 20-plus home run hitter. And I know they're still not super high on him in right, but they say he's at least an average defender and working to be above average, so it's hard to complain. Vern, what were you really going to ask about Soler?
Yeah, the over-under in Vegas right now is 14.5 home runs for Jorge
Over.
Soler. Right, Over. It seems obvious, but I feel like every single season for the past 3 years, it's been obvious and over, and then something transpires. And I'm just wondering how much you and, again, the organization, as you alluded to, are buying in that we can bank on him this year.
They're super high on him. They still think his talent is through the roof. Even when you're talking about, like, hey, long-term plans, who are guys you think, like, definitely could get an extension? And Soler is a name who is mentioned when healthy. I think what they'll do, I think part of the reason they traded for Goodwin is to have him play DH more. It doesn't mean he'll never be in right. I think he'll be in right when lefties pitch. But they're going to try to be protective of him. My only concern is that you ever just feel like a player is like a magnet for injuries, even injuries he can't control. Like, he'll get an oblique injury, like, oh, you're running around and that happened, or pull a hamstring, you're fine. But then he'll get hit in the foot with a baseball and wreck his entire season. You're like, damn, like, that's not even something he could prevent it. No matter, like, working out or stretching or anything's going to take care of you there. I feel like he's just kind of a, you know, heat-seeking missile for that stuff. But if he plays 130 games, he will soar past 14 home runs. I know it's easier said than done, but, like, I take the over because he's still proven his power is so much better than that.
He's Cody Tapp. He's our Royals insider. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. Great information, videos, audio. You can find it all not only on his Twitter account, at Cody B. Tapp, T-A-P-P, at Cody B. Tapp, but also at 610sports.com in Cody's Corner. You'll hear him Thursday night, every Thursday night at 6 o'clock on Royals Hot Stove. Cody, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be listening.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, joining us here on Show and Vern. Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the championship game of the NAIA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. That and the Money Shot coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back. Final segment, Show and Vern, live from the 82nd Annual NAIA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. Halftime of, I think, the third game. There's 8 games today. I think the final game tips up at 10 o'clock tonight. I think you can get in for like $20. So if you are a basketball fan, the last game that just finished up, that was a one-point game, came down to the final shot. Very entertaining out here. Again, Serta and I will be broadcasting quarterfinal games on Saturday night, 5:30 and 7:30. You can hear what is sure to be a train wreck of a broadcast over on our sister station, 1660, The Score. I do not recommend you listening to the entire game. I mean, unless you know someone playing, then definitely do it. Show them your support. But if you just want a reason to laugh, I have to imagine we will deliver just that. Again, on 1660 Saturday, 5:30 tip, and then a 7:30 tip. The championship game is Tuesday night. You'll hear it on 610 Sports Radio. And if you want to go to the championship game on Tuesday night, if you want to see the All-Star game, which will precede the championship game, well, then just be the sixth caller right now to 913-576-7610, and you'll win. Sixth caller right now, 913-576-7610. You'll win a four-pack of tickets to the championship game of the NAIA Division I National Championship. Well, I guess Serta's got to answer the phones. I don't know why the text line hasn't mentioned this. Maybe I haven't been paying close enough attention. To the text line, no. Listener room 112, I love the Royals, but this year's team is flat out boring and uninteresting. Okay. Have you guys seen what Ron the Show Hughley is doing on Twitter? Is this video still going? No, that is done. There's a video of Ron in the hot tub. I can tell he doesn't have a shirt on. Who knows about the rest of it? Shades on. Out here trying to act like he's going to do something. That's why you guys got to quit running to him, man. Just let that man enjoy his vacation. He is with his beautiful wife, lovely kids, just drop-dead sexy mother. He's having a good time with his family. Just let him be. You don't need to run to him and tell him that Spectre came on the show again today. Uninvited, by the way. Even though it sure does sound... You may notice that when Spectre's here, Serta's all of a sudden like his freaking lapdog. Serta just plays both sides of this whole thing. Check out Ron the Show Hughley's Twitter page. Give him a follow. God knows he needs it. At Ronnie H. Show, R-O-N-N-I-E-H Show, at Ronnie H. Show on Twitter. I do want to thank everyone out here at the NA, except for that one drummer that was just mean-mugging me because he knew he was ruining the radio program that I'm doing a good enough job of ruining on my own. But want to thank everybody, Brittany, Kling, for helping me out as well. Thanks to everybody for your help out here. And a quick reminder that Family Day is Saturday. They'll have a dunk contest at 4:30. And again, the All-Star game on Tuesday night starts at 6. Championship game tips up at 8 o'clock. We have given the tickets away. You'll have another chance to win tickets to the NAIA Championship. Make sure you're listening to Fesco in the Morning starting at 5:58. Tomorrow morning. Coming up momentarily, it is The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Listener three, he writes in. Now, good. It was a mean text. I didn't want to read it anyway. All right, let's finish with the bang. The Money Shot brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads, and it is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. I mentioned earlier when talking about Tyreek Hill about why you can't compare professional sports to the real life, or to real life. Why your life, do not compare it to the life of a professional athlete. There is no comparison. Case in point, what happened with the Philadelphia Phillies. Did you see this story? Phillies first baseman Carlos Santana, the former Cleveland Indian slugger that used to just dominate when he was at Kauffman. He told the story about going into the Phillies locker room last year, and the Phillies locker room had a lot of young players. He went into the locker room, and a lot of the young players were playing Fortnite and didn't seem all that interested in getting their work done and being prepared to go out there and win the game. So Carlos Santana took a bat to the television and to their game council. That wouldn't happen in regular life. If a coworker of yours started smashing up your computer or your television because you weren't focused on work, you're likely to throw hands with that coworker. But a veteran of the game like Carlos Santana, those young guys just had to take it, had to go with it.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.